nay, nay, and knee, knee, and I, Nicky, nigh, and no, no, Nicky, nigh, no, and you knew, Nicky, nigh, no, knew.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. Email me at bruce@brucesalin.com. That's Bruce and Salin, S-A-L-L-A-N.com. And that's an S like in Sam's, Pastor Drew Sam's, our next guest. Or tweet me at Bruce Salin. Our next segment is Teen Wrap, and it is sponsored by the Wright Center for Orthodontics with offices in both Santa Barbara and Camarillo. Their number is 805-68-SMILE. Again, that is 805-68-SMILE, or reach them at 805-687-6453 in Santa Barbara or 805-484-1688 in Camarillo, and be sure to tell them Bruce Salin sent you. Pastor Drew has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village for the last 5 years and is also pursuing doctoral work through George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. Drew and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village, California. Welcome, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks again for having me.
It is always a pleasure. I look forward to our talks each week. You said to me while we were briefly talking on break that this particular subject about living parents living their lives through their kids resonated well with you and your work, so I'd like to know exactly what you meant.
Sure. You know, it's interesting. Just 10 years I've been working with adolescents, and one of the recurring themes that I've seen throughout really is exactly what you described in your column, this kind of unfortunate reality that so many parents live vicariously through their kids. And I see almost two different versions of it. On one hand, I see parents living vicariously through their kids because either they want them to be what they weren't able to be when they were younger. So let's say the dad was the backup quarterback all through high school, and he so wants his son to be the star quarterback. It's almost like, since I wasn't able to make it when I was younger, the father says, then I want my son to make it. And so I see that quite a bit. And then the second...
By the way, you know, it's funny. That was what Andre Agassi's whole book was about, that he grew to hate tennis because of the pressure he felt. And I think it was somewhat driven by a parental influence.
Sure, those are expectations, which in one way are very healthy. You know, I think it's important for parents to set a standard and to train and educate and nurture and care for their children. But if it becomes not for the kids' good, but rather for the parents' selfish motives, that's when things really get unhealthy. So then secondly, so the other way that I see parents living vicariously through their kids is that kind of on the flip side of them trying to live up to the person they weren't, I also see that sometimes parents have reached such a high standard, whether they were valedictorian, whether they were the prom queen, whether they were, you know, president of a company at 25. I see them wanting their kids to reach the standard that they reached, maybe even in the same areas that they did. So if a mom was really into dance, she expects her daughter to be in dance. And I've seen those students really have to adapt who they are to live out their parents' identity.
I think that's extremely true. I know for me, I really wanted my kids to follow in my footsteps as far as the sports I love, which are skiing primarily and tennis secondarily. And my kids proved to more or less have two left feet when it came to sports and yet had extraordinary talent when it came to music and art. So it took me a little while to just realize, nurture that, and let the sports go their way. And the irony is, in my younger son eventually did become a skier, after I'd kind of let go, and is pretty good at it and enjoys it, but it's no longer a passion of mine to make him, so to speak, do that.
Sure. That word nurture, I think, is a key word. And as you said that, I just thought of the visual of whether it's gardening or if it's you know, helping plants grow. You can try to force the limbs, you know, to go one way. You can tie them off to a pole or help it guide it, but really what you want to do is to nurture it and allow it to grow the way it's intended. You can help it along the way, of course, but you know, a tree, if you bent it to do a 90-degree turn, 3 feet off the ground, you know, that's unhealthy for it. And I see parents doing that so often with their kids.
I have a funny story about that, which is when we moved to the Caneo Valley, where you and I both live, my older son was, I don't know, about 7 at the time, and I really wanted him to get into sports, any kind. And at that point, I let him choose. And he said, well, okay, I'll do baseball. And at that time, they had coach pitch baseball. So I go to the local park and recreations. I see what there is. And it turns out the only thing they have is a coach pitch team that is in desperate need of a coach. So I volunteer to coach. I'm not a baseball player. So I end up coaching the team in which my son is participating, which is like teaching your kid, your wife how to drive or your kid how to drive. It's just setting myself up for disaster. Well, long story short, my son quit about halfway through the season, and I was left having to coach the rest of the season because I couldn't, of course, let down the rest of the kids and the families. And my son quit both because he hated the being coach's son, and he just didn't want to play baseball. So that was a very dramatic lesson in exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting, kind of on a side note, the gentleman that I did all my study under, Dr. Chap Clark, has written extensively about this, and he uses an interesting phrase related to this. He says what we're doing as a society is actually a form of abandonment. And, you know, some parents would say, well, I'm not abandoning my child. I'm so involved. I'm there. I'm driving them to practice. I'm driving them to dance lessons. And this definition of abandonment that he gives, he says, abandonment is what happens when the adults and institutions that should have a nurturing role in the lives of young people ignore or turn against them. And I think the turn against them is when they live vicariously through them. Hmm. They stop that nurturing process, but rather than nurturing, they try to force them into whatever box they want them to live into, and therefore abandon them as parents.
That is a very interesting distinction, and I really appreciate it. We don't have a lot of time left, but I want to ask you another area that we parents suffer or struggle with, and obviously you'll know a lot about this, and that's with our own religion and trying to pass that on to our kids. I am sure you have any number of instances at Calvary Church where parents are frustrated that their kids either don't want to come at all or come infrequently or come begrudgingly. How have you seen that manifest itself? And would you have any suggestions on how to handle that that situation?
Sure. You know, the phrase that I often use with adolescents is that whatever they believe, they need to own it. They need to have it be their decision. They can't just inherit it from their parents. You know, I think it's important to learn from our parents and to respect our parents and honor our parents, of course. We've talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that adolescents really need to be able, and parents need to give them the freedom to make decisions for themselves as they get older, as they kind of exit through adolescence. And so
what age would you say is no longer appropriate to, in quotes, force your kid to go to church or temple?
Mm. Wow, that's a. I'm sure any answer I give, all the listeners will probably disagree with me. But I think it really depends on the kid, and I don't mean that as a cop out. But
that was a total cop out.
Yeah, you know why is 18 the magic number? I know in our society that's the age now that we can vote, and we have certain legal...
I'm still focused on you copping out.
Yeah. I think it's important for them actually to do it younger than society says. So I think that as they're going through high school, I think that they need to begin to have that experience of making...
Or that independence.
Yeah.
That's really the word independence. So we're actually almost out of time. This is our special guest, Mr. Pastor Pastor Drew Sams from Calvary Church. Where can people find you, and what's coming up as far as this weekend at the church?
Yeah, easiest way to get a hold of me is through our website directly. It's calvarycc.org. And actually, this weekend I'm teaching a class at 11 a.m. Within our marriage ministry. So anybody who is newly married, 5 years or less, I'll be teaching a free class at the church. And so I think walk-ins are accepted, but looking forward to that.
Hey, I'm coming up to 2 years. Maybe my wife and I should come to that.
Yeah, would love to see you.
I'm going
to
ask her, 11 a.m. That's really terrific.
Great, and well, all that info is on the website.
Terrific. Thank you, Pastor Drew. Talk to you next week, I hope.
Yes.
Goodbye for now. It's time for another break. I want to again thank the Wright Center for Orthodontics for sponsoring this segment of the Bruce Allen Show. They are the orthodontics office that cares. Call them at 805-68-SMILE and say the Bruce Allen sent you. Tweet me at Bruce Allen or email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. This is the Bruce Allen Show, a dad's point of view.
The story spread throughout the land that I had beaten Ringo's hand. And it was just the years, they say, that made me put my guns away. But on his grave, they can't explain the tarnished star above the name of Ringo.